Hello and welcome to More or Less on the BBC World Service, the programme which analyses the numbers in the news with clever investigative skills like counting. I'm Kate Lamble. Loyal listener Dave wrote in to moreorless@bbc.co.uk with the following question.
In recent reports about the rate in which one glacier in the Antarctic is melting, I think I heard someone say that if the whole of the Antarctic ice melted, then sea level would rise by something like 70 metres. This seems an awful lot. Is it right?
A 70-metre sea level rise would certainly be worrying. The familiar shapes of continents would have to be entirely redrawn, with much of Australia, India and South America underwater. So to answer the question, I turn to Dr. Bethan Davies, a senior lecturer at Royal Holloway University in London, where she studies Antarctic glaciers. She wants us to start by imagining a big block of ice.
1 kilometre down, 1 kilometre long and 1 kilometre deep.
It's a pretty big block.
We can convert that volume of ice into a mass of ice. So for seawater, it would be 1 gigaton, 1 billion tonnes in 1 kilometre cubed.
So we've got a giant ice cube equal to 1 gigaton of seawater. How many cubes would you need to raise the world's sea level?
It takes 361 gigatons, 361 billion tonnes of ice, to raise global sea levels by 1 millimetre.
The world is a big place, so it would take an astonishing amount of melted ice to even impact sea levels slightly. Which raises the question, how many of those blocks are there in Antarctica?
Oh, crikey. Hang on, let me look it up. OK, here we go. I've got the data. Right. So in Antarctica, there are 3 ice sheets, the East Antarctic Ice Sheet, the West Antarctic Ice Sheet, and the Antarctic Peninsula Ice Sheet. So in East Antarctica, there are 22.4 million cubic kilometres of ice.
Squished down at the bottom of most world maps, it's easy to forget that Antarctica is around the size of the United States and Mexico combined. In addition to the East Antarctic ice sheet, West Antarctica adds 3.4 million of these kilometre-sized cubes of ice, and the Antarctic Peninsula an extra 131.
If you looked at the whole of Antarctica, the volume is 26 million cubic kilometres. So 26 million 1 by 1 by 1 kilometres cubed.
Suddenly that 70 metres of sea level rise doesn't seem so unreasonable.
But the important thing to know is that not all the volume of ice actually contributes to sea level rise. Any ice that's floating or any ice that's below sea level doesn't contribute to sea level rise because it's already displacing water.
Imagine you have a lemonade or a gin and tonic and you add ice. As the ice melts, the level of liquid in the glass doesn't change. But
if you went very enthusiastically about your ice cubes and you stacked maybe 4 or 5 ice cubes in your glass so that you had a couple of ice cubes above the level of the water, when those ice cubes melt, the level of the water in your glass will go up.
So to calculate how much Antarctica melting will raise our oceans by, scientists have to figure out how much of the ice is above sea level. To do that, planes equipped with radar have flown across the whole of the continent. They've been able to map the ice thickness.
So we know where we have beds above sea level and where we have beds below sea level.
Then they take away the ice below sea level to create a figure known as the sea level equivalent. But even if we look at just the ice that would cause sea levels to rise, the numbers are still huge.
The East Antarctic Ice Sheet has so much ice, it's such a big ice sheet, that if all of that ice melted, sea levels would rise by 53 metres.
It's not the same story everywhere. In West Antarctica, a lot of the ice is below sea level, so it has a sea level equivalence of only 3.3 metres. The Antarctic Peninsula adds 20 centimetres of sea level rise.
So altogether, what's the final figure?
The final figure altogether is about 58 metres.
So, Dave, if all the ice in Antarctica melted, there wouldn't be anything like the 70 metres of sea level rise, which you heard. That's far too high. Bethan thinks you might have seen an old figure which represents all the ice caps around the world. But even with just 58 metres of sea level rise, all the ice in Antarctica melting would still be catastrophic. So we have to ask, what's the likelihood of that happening? The risks are different for the three ice sheets which cover the continent, so we'll start with the largest, the East Antarctic Ice Sheet.
If you went to the South Pole and stood there, you would look around and in 360 degrees all the way around, you would just see the great flat white. It's very, very cold. It almost never gets above zero. The coldest temperature ever recorded was about minus 90 degrees in East Antarctica, 90 degrees centigrade.
The cold temperatures in East Antarctica means the surface of the ice hardly melts, even during the summer.
We talk about global temperature levels rising. Is there any way that East Antarctica would get to a point where that ice could start melting?
You could raise global temperatures by 20 degrees centigrade and still not see significant surface melt in East Antarctica. The East Antarctic ice sheet has been here for about 33 million years, so we have to go back to the world with dinosaurs in to get really significant surface melt in East Antarctica.
The bulk of the ice in Antarctica is safe.
The Antarctic Peninsula is an entirely different beast altogether. There's ice-free land, and in the summer, you would have many days above zero. In fact, I think they recently measured a day with the hottest ever temperature of 20 degrees centigrade, so it's shorts and T-shirt weather. So you do get surface melt. You also get these warm winds, and they can cause strong melt seasons as well.
The Antarctic Peninsula could contribute to sea level rises, but remember, it's very small. Even if all the ice there melted, it could only contribute 20 centimetres. Bethan says it's the West Antarctic ice sheet, though, which poses the biggest threat.
The West Antarctic ice sheet is an unusual ice sheet. It's what we would call a marine ice sheet because the bed of that ice sheet is below sea level. And it's not only below sea level, it's hundreds of metres below sea level. And so West Antarctica is vulnerable because ocean currents are warming this ice sheet from below.
That's not all. The structure of the West Antarctic ice sheet means that stabilising the ice is very difficult. Once the melting process starts, it'll be hard to stop it. All this means that in the next 80 years, we're expecting Antarctica as a whole to contribute at least 20 centimetres to global sea level rises. That's if we can keep global warming within 1.5 degrees of pre-industrial levels.
That doesn't seem like that much. What realistic impact will that have on the world?
20 centimetres of sea level rise would mean probably increased storm surges. So a storm surge that causes a flood every 50 years or every 100 years might happen every 5 to 10 years. And you might get a very bad flood every winter.
Parts of the coastal land could be eroded into the sea. In wealthy countries in Europe, that would mean...
we would have managed coastal retreats. The government would buy your home. In other parts of the world, like low-lying countries in the Pacific or low-lying countries that are less economically developed, it's unlikely that the coastal retreat would be so managed. We'd lose large parts of Bangladesh, for example, and that would have displacement of people and cause issues.
That's pretty much the best-case scenario. If temperatures rise more than 2 degrees above pre-industrial levels, sea level rises from Antarctica alone could be closer to 60 centimetres, putting swathes of Europe, including Denmark and the Netherlands, into difficulty. So, while Antarctica could potentially be responsible for huge sea level rises, the actual risk is much smaller. Even so, the best case scenario is still likely to have a big impact on millions of lives. That's all we have time for this week. If you have any questions about suspect statistics, you can email moreorless@bbc.co.uk. We'll be back next week. Until then, goodbye.